As you've heard us say this morning, state health officials now report 218 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in Massachusetts, but the true number of people infected could be much higher. So, how bad will things get in the state? The team at Northeastern University's Emergent Epidemics Lab is calculating the answer to that question. They've built a computer-generated model of coronavirus cases around the world and what measures might be used to help contain it. Those computations are now being translated into a game plan for Massachusetts. Sam Scarpino is assistant professor of network science and leads the lab at Northeastern and joins us now this morning. Good morning, Sam. Thanks for speaking to WBUR's Morning Edition.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You say that Massachusetts likely has anywhere between 1,900 and 5,900 actual cases of COVID-19. How do you reach those numbers? Because they're way beyond what's being reported right now.
That's right, Bob. We come to those numbers using two different approaches. The first is based on published estimates of the underreporting rate in the United States, which suggests that as many as 10 or 20 cases are unreported for every case that goes reported. And the second is based on estimates from things like hospitalizations in the state or intensive care unit visits that are going to be less sensitive to underreporting than confirmed cases through testing.
Let me ask you about school closings. Thousands of children are now out of school for the foreseeable future in Massachusetts as schools statewide have been ordered closed. Did your models support that decision to close schools?
They did. Our models suggest that every action we take to reduce the transmission of COVID-19 will help us flatten or spread out that epidemic curve and reduce the demand on our healthcare system.
What about other restrictions to enforce social distancing, things like limits on the size of groups, limiting restaurants to takeout and delivery? Have these measures made a difference, do you think? And will more of that kind of thing be needed according to what your research shows?
As you know, most of those measures have really just gone into place in the past couple of days. And as we've seen in China, South Korea, where these measures worked, it takes a week to 2 weeks before you start to see the results. So it's a little bit too early to say whether they're working, although we have evidence from other countries that they will work. It's quite possible that more measures will be needed, but at this point we need to wait and see for a few days how the outbreak progresses.
If more measures are needed, what do you think those should be?
It really depends on how serious things get. As we see in northern Italy, hospitals are overwhelmed. They're running out of ICU beds and respirators. And this is a very serious situation, one that we need to do everything we can to prevent in Massachusetts.
You're doing surge forecasting with local hospitals, as I understand it. Is that correct?
That's right. We make our forecasts available to local hospitals that are considering surge forecasts for their own preparedness.
So what information are you sharing with them about systems and equipment that they need, assuming that this is going to get worse?
Based on needs in places like Italy, South Korea, China, that have been dealing with this outbreak a little bit longer than us, we can forecast what is the likelihood that a patient is going to need a ventilator, that they're going to need an ICU bed, and those numbers will help hospitals prepare for any coming surge in cases.
So let me get to the big questions, I think. Since you're forecasting for the future, just how long are your models saying this pandemic could last across the country?
That's actually one of the biggest questions that a number of researchers, public health officials, et cetera, are grappling with. By trying to flatten out the epidemic curve and reduce the demand on the healthcare system, that is going to extend the amount of time that we're dealing with this outbreak. That's a good thing because it prevents the hospitals from becoming overwhelmed, which can drive an increase in mortality. However, the process of coming back to normal is one that we have to work very carefully because, of course, we could reduce some of these restrictions and then cases could come back into the population again quite quickly. However, I know that one of the things that's top of mind for everyone is what's our opportunity for reopening schools and trying to bring back more normal aspects of life as soon as possible.
And what's the answer to that? On a best case scenario, what's the answer to that? Do we know?
We don't know. I think the best case is, how do we plan to reopen schools and keep in other measures that are going to reduce the transmission rate? However, the issue is that we're still in front of the surges in hospitals that we suspect are coming. And most of the effort, both on the modeling side and forecasting side, but also on the public health and government side, is focused on preparing for and responding to what we suspect is coming in the next few weeks.
All right. So I have to ask this question as well. If you think that this state already has between 1,900 and 5,900 actual cases of COVID-19, do your models say how big that number could get for this state? Or if you haven't broken it down by state, how many people might be infected across the country?
What we see in China is, when they put in these kind of social distancing measures, around 1% of the population ends up infected. And so I think that's a number that we could kind of keep in our minds around a possible total outbreak size. But to be honest, it really depends on how seriously we take these social distancing measures and continue to, wherever possible, isolate ourselves, especially if you have symptoms. That's what's going to bring this under control and prevent some of these scenarios where the outbreak gets out of hand.
Sam Scarpino, assistant professor of network science, who leads the lab at Northeastern University. Thanks a lot for joining us on Morning Edition. Appreciate it, Sam.
Thanks so much for having me.